somebody to meet tonight, right? We've got our third guy coming up tonight from the Old Testament. We have now met two prophets of the Old Testament who told us some of the things God told him to write down in his book that would let us know about the Messiah and how to recognize him when he came. In this last session, we're going to meet another biblical character who will tell us something very interesting about Jesus the Messiah. His name is Zechariah. His name is another one not usually thought of about the birth of Jesus, but he will tell us why Jesus was born. Zechariah, are you there? Zechariah.
Shalom. Shalom. My name is Zechariah. I am a prophet of God. I lived 500 years before the Christmas. 500 years. I was born about the time that Daniel died. And I was born in Persia, very far from Jerusalem. But I was born in the lineage of the priests. I was a priest. And I taught of the scripture, the Holy Scriptures. In my days, when I was living in Persia, I was a friend of Ezra. But Nebuchadnezzar had come, as no doubt Daniel told you. And Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed our land, and he had also destroyed the temple. So there was no temple in Jerusalem. There was not much of even a Jerusalem. So Cyrus, the king of Persia, he decided that it was time to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. He gave the man named Zerubbabel the job of doing this. And many, many Jews went back to Jerusalem to build a temple to God. Now, this temple sat right where Solomon's temple sat. And it took a long, long time to build. It was a smaller temple, not nearly as elaborate as Solomon's temple, but at least we were having a temple. It was during this time I became very important, because the people, you see, they said they followed God. They said they were children of God, God's chosen people, but their actions did not fit with the way they spoke. No doubt, this still goes on today. Many people claim to be followers of God. They talk about it, but their actions do not fit it. That is what I faced. And so I was there to encourage the people to build the temple. But I also was used by God to tell the people to truly serve him. Not just in words, but in actions, in the way that they lived. For that is true worship of God. So that was what my job was about. And I wrote a testimony, a book, a prophecy found in your Old Testament. It bears my name, Zechariah. Now, you might not recognize my name. I understand. You might not recognize my name with the Christmas story. And I understand. I understand. I mean, you read Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel. You hear about Mary and Joseph. You hear the stories of how the the angels appeared to the shepherds. You hear the story of how these shepherds go into Bethlehem. You hear how the wise men, following Daniel's prophecies, go in search of the Son of Man. So what did I have to do with that? God used me to prophesize the reason for the Messiah's birth. Yes, the reason. Do you know the reason Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of Man, why he was born? He is God. Isaiah tells us this. He is God. Why didn't he just come in clouds and land on the earth? Why didn't he just appear in the desert or in the temple itself? Why was Jesus born? Have you ever wondered? I was given the privilege and the honor to tell you. You see, the Christmas story does not begin in Matthew. The Christmas story does not begin in the book of Luke. No, the Christmas story begins with another prophet, Moses. Moses, back in the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis tells us the Christmas story, the beginning of it. So let me, and though my time is very short, let me, as a priest, tell you how this all works. How does the Christmas story start in the book of Genesis? You see, God created, when he began creating everything, he created two people, Adam and Eve. All of the people of the world, including you and me, are descendants of Adam and Eve. They were created by God and they were holy. God is so holy, he cannot have any sin in his presence. And when Adam and Eve were created, God walked with them in the garden. They had a very, very close relationship. They were able to walk hand in hand because they were sinless. They were holy. But God told them, to be in my presence, you must be holy. You cannot break the laws. If you break the laws, any law, even just once, you will be separated from me because I am holy. You will no longer be holy. And as you know, the story goes, Adam and Eve chose poorly. They, instead of believing the truth of God, chose to believe the lies of Satan. Satan deceived them, and they forsook God and followed Satan's advice. In doing so, they broke God's command, which means they are no longer holy. This changed everything. Every single person born after that, which is all mankind, now are born into a sinful race. We are all sinners. We have all done things against God. If you are honest with yourself, you know this is true. No one is holy except God. And God is so holy, he cannot have sin in his presence. God had told them that if you do this, the price that you must pay is separation from me and death. God could have killed them instantly. But God loved them. And instead of killing Adam and Eve, he killed an innocent animal. You see, in God's law, as Moses wrote, God said, the only way to atone or to cover up sin is by blood. Adam and Eve's blood should have been spilled. It should have been them there dying. It should be all of us. All of us are sinners. And as we break God's law, we all deserve death. For we are no longer holy. We are separated forever from a holy God. And that is worse than death. So God killed an innocent animal. Its blood was shed. God used the skin, the fur, to clothe them. And God set up a principle with Old Testament laws that blood must be shed for the forgiveness of sin. You see, from this point on in history, from that moment to even right now with each one of you, man is separated from a holy God. Man comes up with many ways to try to get across. He has made many religions, but they are man's creation. They do not work because they cannot get rid of sin. Sin is the barrier. We can't approach God because he is so holy. We are full of sin. That was the problem. And all of us together, myself, even I, a priest, are in the same situation as all of you. So God knew, too, that the blood of an animal could not really remove the sin of people. It really could not do that. In the book of Hebrews, it is even stated as such. The blood of an animal cannot really remove the sin of a person to let them come to a holy God. So God set into motion a plan to fix it. And this is what it was. He would send his son, the Son of Man, the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Christ, the Christos. He would come, and as Isaiah taught, he is totally God. He was already existing, the eternal Father God. He is God. And he would come and die for the people. But God is not human. So he had to fix that. The Messiah would have to be born human. This is why Christmas is so important. This is it. That God would have to become part human. He'd still be totally God, as Isaiah tells us, but he would also be born of a woman. Thus, he would be also human. He would cry tears. He would feel pain. He would laugh. He would eat. He would be human. But he's still God. That's why Christmas is so important. Because he is God, he could take the sins of all of the people and die for them. You see, even I as a priest, I cannot die for your sins. I have my own sins. You could not die for my sin. You have your own sin. It needs to take a God. Someone who is perfect, who never sinned. That is only God. But it also has to be human to represent us. That's why Christmas is important. Now, the prophecy, as I told you, Moses wrote in the book of Genesis, the third chapter, and in the 15th verse, when Adam and Eve had sinned, God speaks to his enemy, Satan. And he says this, Moses wrote this down. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between her offspring, He shall crush your head, you shall strike his heel. Now look carefully. The woman is mentioned, Mary, as we know who it is. Between your offspring, her offspring, she will have an offspring to fix this problem. Of course, it's Jesus, the Christmas story. But in fixing the problem, the Messiah, he will crush your head. He's telling Satan, he will defeat you, but you will wound him. You will strike his heel. You will wound him. This is the Christmas story in Genesis. There it is. A woman will have an offspring who will defeat the enemy Satan. The Messiah would be born to Mary, but Joseph was not his true father, for his father was God. You see why Christmas is important? God used me, Zechariah, to write down in my book the goal of the Messiah, of the Son of Man. Here it is. Here is my contribution to Christmas. In the third chapter, verses 8 and 9, God told me to write these. Listen, high priest Joshua, you, your associates seated before you. I am going to bring my servant, the branch. Stop here. The branch. It's capitalized. It's a title. Like Messiah. Like Son of Man. The branch. Messiah. Says the Lord Almighty. Look at this. And I will remove the sin of this land in a single day. Do you understand that? I will remove the sin of this land in a single day. This is God Almighty making a promise. When was sin removed in a single day? When? Anyone know? At Easter. Jesus was born to remove the sins of the people in a single day. That's why Christmas is so important. And that is why we celebrate Easter. Because on Easter, Jesus goes to the cross on Friday, Good Friday, and removed the sin of the people in a single day. I was given the privilege and the honor to write down the reason, the purpose the Messiah would come. And now you understand. But have you accepted this? Because Jesus came to die on the cross to remove your sin. From the moment you were born, you are an enemy of God. Some will try to say and teach you that if you are good enough, you can get to heaven, that you can have eternal life with God. As a priest, I would say this. If that were true, why did Jesus have to die? If we could be good enough on our own to cross the gap, why did the Messiah have to die? No. Jesus came, and he is the only way. The span between man, who is facing death, and God, which faces life, eternal life, the sin which was there, Jesus, the branch, branches over the gap. And if we accept this free offer of grace, we can be restored to the Holy God as God intended when he created. How do you do this? The Apostle John wrote this down in his book, in the first book, John, chapter 1, verse 9. Look what it says. If we confess our sins, he, Jesus, the Messiah, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you see the word all? All unrighteousness. Some people have said, I have sinned too much, or I have sinned too bad. God could never forgive me. That is a lie of Satan. Because you see a promise from God right here. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not one or two. Everything. In other words, you cannot out-sin God's gift. You cannot out-sin God's grace. Oh, my friends, my time is up. But I hope you realize that God loves you so much that he sent his son to die. It was the only way this could happen. The only way to remove sin in a single day. It had to be God. He had to come as a human, the Christmas story, so that he could die for you. Will you accept his free offer of grace? It's very easy. A child can figure it out. An old man can also. Will you ask God and say to him, Lord, I have sinned. I am separated from you. I believe Jesus died for me. Please restore me. Forgive me. Be my Lord and my Savior. And I will serve you as you created us originally to be. It's not the magic words. It's what is going on in your heart. My time is gone. Don't think this is not important. The most important decision you will ever, ever make in your life is this. Will you accept God's offer of grace? I bid you shalom.